Welcome to an incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, Associate Pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We're so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
Well, listen, we're going to be jumping straight into the word. We are continuing our series, as Pastor Ron mentioned, through the book of Ruth. And I've really enjoyed studying the book of Ruth. I haven't really got to study it as much as I have been, as we've been preparing, or as I've been preparing for this series. But man, it's quickly become one of my favorite books, mainly because of the ability to be able to connect the dots as you go through the book of Ruth. And we're going to begin to do that today. If you've read through the book of Ruth, then you'll get to see some of these things. Hopefully, I'll be able to draw out some things that maybe you haven't seen before. But more importantly, it's an opportunity for us to see how great our God is, not just to Ruth, but also to us in our lives as well. So just a quick recap. The account of Ruth occurs during a time in the book of Judges, and during a time when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. If you look at the book of Ruth, it comes right after the book of Judges. The account of Ruth is right there during that span of time in biblical history. Naomi and her family left their home in Bethlehem to the land of Moab due to a famine. Naomi is the mother-in-law to Ruth, and they left because of a famine. And whenever they do that, the Bible says that tragedy strikes when Naomi loses her husband and her two sons. And so Ruth included loses her husband. And at the lowest point in her life, Naomi imagined that God's hand was against her and that she was being punished. But we know that God does not punish us for our past mistakes, but he provides grace for our future. And whenever things were bad for Naomi, what we learn about the book through the book of Ruth is that God is still working behind the scenes in her life. And similarly, when things seem bad in our life, we can be sure that God's not finished yet. He is still working. And continuing on, Naomi insists that her two daughters-in-law go back to their families because her future was left with nothing. And she was headed for poverty is where she was headed. But Ruth was insistent that she was not going to go back to her family. She was willing to leave everything behind in order to stay in covenant relationship with Naomi. And this is whenever we hear her say her famous words, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." She was making a promise and to stay in relationship with Naomi, but also taking a huge step of faith by leaving everything behind, but also choosing to trust in her God. And God recognized that step of faith, and he was going to reward her for that very thing. And so we see things, while in chapter 1, things seem very bleak, in chapter 2, we see things begin to turn for the fortune of both Ruth and Naomi. And so that's what we're going to pick up in chapter 2. So let's look at verse 1. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says that there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. Elimelech was Naomi's husband, the mother-in-law of Ruth. And it says here that Boaz was a man of great wealth. The name Boaz means strength. So we know that Boaz was a strong and wealthy man. Okay? Now, obviously, being of great wealth means that he also had great possessions. And here in a moment, we're going to see that he owned a field. And if you owned a field, then it showed that you had great wealth. And we have to understand, when we look at this, it's important for us to see him as a strong and very wealthy man because of what we're going to see moving forward. So let's keep that in mind. Verse 2, so Ruth The Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him whose sight I might find favor." So Ruth asks for permission to go to work. She wants to go and bring in grain, to bring in food. Okay? Now, what she was talking about here is that she was planning on going and gleaning crops from someone else's field. But it was specific in that day that those who were harvesting in their fields, they would leave the corners of their field for the poor, because this was a Levitical law that God instituted for his people, kind of like a welfare program for the poor to ensure that they were taken care of. In fact, let's look at it. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 9 says, "When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges or the corners of your field, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop." Verse 10, "Leave them for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I am the Lord your God." God wanted his people to care for the poor, for them to keep them in mind. And so this is what she was referring to when she was saying that I want to go and pick grain, you know, let me go do this. She was talking about the grain that was left over for the poor. So that's where she's headed. And then in verse 3, it tells us that Ruth, it says that she happened to stumble across the field belonging to Boaz. Now, it may seem like a coincidence that she stumbled across the field of Boaz, but we know that God is not a God of coincidences. God is an intentional God. We know him to be that. And here, she stumbles across a man named Boaz in his field. And so she goes and she begins to pick the grain along the corners of the field that were left for those who were in poverty. And when she does this, the Bible says that Boaz approaches those who were picking the corners that were left for those who were impoverished. So he approaches these people. And the Bible says that he says, "Lord be with you." And then they bless him as well. And I couldn't help but just think about, you know, this didn't seem like it was something that was expected in their culture. I mean, the corners were left so that the poor could be able to take care of themselves. Yet Boaz wasn't just leaving the corners just so that he could fulfill the letter of the law. But instead, it seems like he was carrying the heart of the law, and that he genuinely cared about those, so much so that he went and greeted them himself. I don't think that he had to do that. And yet he did. And it seemed like those who saw him were happy to see him. He was a man who was clearly very generous, who had a heart for those who were in need. He wasn't just doing what he needed to do so that they can be taken care of, so that he could fulfill the letter of the law, but instead, he had a heart for those who were in need. And this just reminds me of God, that he has a heart for those who are in need. He cares for those who are in need. And God wants us to do the same thing, because God blesses us and so that we can be a blessing. And I love that our church carries that heart. You know, the things that we do around the world, people may wonder, why do we do what we do? But we're not doing it just so that we can say that we did it. Because if that was the case, I wouldn't have a chance to go across the world and sit down with the two children that I sponsor. What a wonderful opportunity that is. And I love that our church carries the heart of God in that, that we care for those who are in need, not so that we can get something back, but to say that we know that we are blessing God's heart. Amen? It's important for us to know, you know, Boaz didn't look at these as people who were less than him. He just simply knew that they had less than. Those who are in need are not less than us. They just simply have less than us. And God wants us to be a blessing to them. And so he greets those who are in need, and the Bible says that this is whenever he notices Ruth. Verse 5 through 7 says, Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. So Boaz notices Ruth. He notices Ruth. Now, I'm sure that he notices Ruth because of the outward beauty that she had. Clearly, I imagine that that's probably one of the reasons why he noticed her. But there was something interesting. It says that she asked permission to glean the corners of the field. Now, listen, she would have known that it was left for her. It was there for her. It was there for that very reason, to help her. She didn't have to ask. And yet, it showed something about Ruth, that she was a virtuous woman. She wasn't just going to go and just assume, although she knew she could. It was important for her to ask for permission. And no doubt, hearing not just about that, but also hearing what she did for her mother-in-law, how she left everything behind in order to be a blessing to her mother-in-law, and also to step into covenant relationship, taking a huge step of faith. Hearing this, no doubt it moved Boaz, and he noticed that about her, the virtuous part of her. You know, I believe that she also carried the heart of God. She was a woman that who wasn't out there looking for handouts. She was out there serving, but she also simply wanted to do this so she can serve her mother-in-law, but she wanted to do it in an honorable way. She was humble, she was thankful, and she had a heart that cared for others, and no doubt that caught Boaz's eye. And so what happens is this, verse 8 through 9, it says that Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So Boaz does something drastic in that culture. He extends a blessing to Ruth. Not only is he wanting her to glean the corners, he says, wherever my harvesters go, you go. Okay, now, whenever you read in chapter 2, you hear about harvesters and reapers. Harvesters were those who were working on behalf of the owner of the field. So there were harvesters who were harvesting the entire field. The reapers were those who were impoverished, those who were reaping the corners. And he's saying that you can reap amongst my harvesters. In other words, he says you can reap amongst the entire field. He was giving her more than she could imagine. And then he says, I don't want you to go to another field. You get to stay in this field. He wanted her in his field because he wanted to ensure that he was going to offer protection to her, that he wanted to offer provision, and he wanted to offer a refreshment, and because he wanted to be a blessing to Ruth. Now, you got to remember, Ruth had no livelihood. She had nothing. She lost her husband, and then her mother-in-law had nothing. They had no livelihood. But what he was offering was an opportunity for her, instead of going from corner to corner, going from field to field, she had a place where she could belong, knowing that she was always going to be taken care of. And she wasn't just poor, she was a foreigner. This was not something that you would do in this culture. And on top of that, he looked over his own people and noticed a foreigner. There is no indication that any other of these ladies received the same gesture that he did. But Ruth, knowing this, fell before Boaz and humbles herself before him, asking, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, a foreigner?" And this is when he begins to say, "It is because I heard about all the things that you did for Naomi. I heard about how you left everything behind. I heard about how you, what you did for your mother-in-law." And he was moved by it. We see that Boaz was a good man. He was a God-fearing man, and he was a compassionate man. And he wanted to ensure that she knew that not only was he going to be a blessing to her, but the refuge that she was looking for in God, she was going to find in him. In verse 12, it says, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." She finds refuge. He's letting her know that she's going to find refuge. What she's been looking for, she's going to receive in God. Let me encourage you today that goodness, faithfulness, compassion, and generosity are all worth investing in, because people are worth investing in. Regardless of the season that we find ourselves in, it is worth being virtuous to others, because God will repay you for your good works, and he will provide you the refuge that you are looking for in him. God's goodness is worth imitating. It's worth imitating for our loved ones, to our coworkers, to our friends. God will repay, but at the very least, his goodness is worth imitating. But then Boaz takes another step. Verse 14, it says, "Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, 'Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar.' So she sat beside the reapers, and she passed parched grain to her. And he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also let grain fall from your bundles, fall purposely for her, and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her.'" He invites her to the table. Now, he has already blessed her tremendously, but he continues. He invites her to the table during mealtime, gives her more food than she needs, and he treats her as one of his own people. He gives her more than enough. And what I find interesting is that Ruth, whenever he gives her more than enough, she could have eaten all the grain that she had, because she had nothing. But instead, she chose to set some aside. Who was she saving it for? She was saving it for her mother-in-law, Naomi. I love that even though she didn't have a whole lot, she wanted to ensure that she had an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. And it reminds me that no matter how much we have, and how much we don't have, we still have a responsibility to be a blessing to others. I learned that from Ruth. She didn't have a whole lot, but still she ensured that her mother-in-law was going to receive. And so she goes back to her mother-in-law, Naomi, to let him know of everything that happened. And Naomi is blown away. She can't believe all that happened. And in fact, Even Naomi, the very one who says, "Call me bitter because God's hand is against me," the one who she thought God's hand was against her and everything has gone bad for her, Even she recognizes that things are beginning to change. She's recognizing that God's hand is on them. Verse 20 says, "Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives.'" Ruth didn't realize it, but Naomi began to connect the dots. She realized that this guy Boaz was not just any ordinary guy, but instead he was a goel, a kinsman redeemer. Okay? This is what a kinsman redeemer is, a goel. It is a close relative who was able to act as a protector and restorer for a family member in need. You see, there's a reason why Boaz wanted Ruth to stay in his field. There's a reason why he wanted to give her more than she needed. There was a reason why he wanted to protect her and provide for her and to treat her like one of his own, because once he heard about the story of Naomi, he knew who she was. And God guided Ruth to the one person who was able to change everything for her and her mother-in-law. They imagined their life was always going to be from corner to corner, going from field to field, but God had a completely different plan. He guided her to the one person who was able to change everything. Now, we're going to talk more about a kinsman redeemer next week, because we're going to see that play out in chapter 3, but just a few things I want to point out. Boaz is a picture of Jesus. He was kind to the poor ladies who were grazing the corners of this field. He allows Ruth, a foreigner, to glean his entire field, not just the corners. He gives her a permanent place in his field. He offers protection, provision, and refreshment in his field. He invites her to sit at the table. He gives her more than she can eat and fills her cup to overflowing. And he overall shows compassion towards her and treats her as one of his own in the same way that he treats us. He visits us, those who were poor in spirit. You see, Ruth is a picture of us, foreigners, alienated from God, who were poor in spirit, yet treated as God's own people. Boaz is a picture of Jesus, of what he would do for you and me. And even more beautiful is that this takes place during the barley harvest. And the barley harvest in Bethlehem took place in about April, which was also during the time of Passover, which Passover is the time in which the lamb was slain for the sins of the people of Israel. Boaz was redeeming Ruth to himself, just as Jesus redeemed us to himself after he made all things whole when he went to the cross. Such a beautiful picture that we see coming together like a tapestry. And this is just the beginning. Chapter 3, we see things begin to come together. But just a couple of things I want us to take away. Number one is that the goodness of God is worth imitating. Let me encourage you to continue to invest in faithfulness and goodness and love and kindness towards others in your life. Secondly, let me encourage you to know that we have a responsibility to be a blessing to others. It is our responsibility to serve those who are around us, to be a blessing. God blessed us so that we can be a blessing. He created a Levitical law so that his people would serve those who are in need. Let us carry the heart of that law and wanting to help others who are also in need. And then thirdly, God is faithfully orchestrating his plan in our lives. There may be times in your life where you're like Naomi, wondering why things are happening the way that they are happening in your life. However, we can be sure to know that God has a plan even when we don't see it. Ruth had no idea whose field she was in, but God did. He brought her to the one person who was able to change everything for her. And similarly, God is guiding us through life, orchestrating His plan to bring about His good and His will in your life. That's His desire. You can know that He is in control and He is bringing about goodness in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, God, for the story of Ruth, God, that encourages us that You have a plan even when we don't see it. And God, I pray that as we leave here, God, that we would know and be encouraged, God, that You are orchestrating Your will in our life, that we don't have to worry or stress, but that we can know that You have a plan in our life. God, I pray You would bless Your people. I pray You would meet every need. And God, I pray that we would walk in faith, knowing that You are in control. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this dynamic message from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.